You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Here we go. Out to the River Islands guest line for none other than Steve Kerr, presented by Great Clips in Sports. Success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Here it is, Steve Kerr. Hey, Coach, what's going on?
Oh, I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing good. Happy New Year. How was the holiday?
Happy New Year to you guys, too. Holiday was great. Anytime you play at home on Christmas, it's a good thing. And then if you play at 2 o'clock, that means you get both a Christmas morning and a Christmas dinner. So it kind of worked out perfectly this year for us.
Strong. And speaking of being home, this is kind of the spot in the schedule that I think everyone, especially you guys, have been waiting for. So here you go, 8-game homestand, get started with a win last night. What does this mean for the organization as a whole right now?
Well, it's an opportunity to gain some momentum, you know, get some separation from that 500 mark that we've been hovering around all year. It's the natural swing of the schedule after the initial month or so was really rough. It's a great opportunity for us, and it's also coming at a time where starting to get healthy. You know, Al Horford now stringing together some games, and De'Anthony Melton is back and finding his shooting stroke. So it feels like a real opportunity for us, but we've got to take advantage of it. You know, we've got 7 more home games, you know, on this homestand. So, you know, let's get on a run.
And it's probably a little easier to get on a run when you have health and now you have rotational clarity. Are you feeling better about the 10 or 11 that you're playing, knowing that if healthy, you kind of have a rotation finally?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be some tweaks every night based on how guys are playing. I mean, you saw the Clipper game the other night. We didn't play Gui Santos at all for 3 quarters, and then we felt like we needed his energy, and he completely flipped the game. You know, Gary Payton can do the same thing. And so there are games where Gui or Gary might only play a handful of minutes. There's games where they might close and play 20 minutes. But, you know, that's kind of at the end of the rotation where those guys kind of expect that and understand that, you know. So at the top of the rotation, it's been good to have a regular starting lineup now for a few weeks and basically a rotation for Steph and Draymond and Jimmy that they're used to. So I think we're in about as good a place as we can be in terms of, you know, starting lineup and rotation-wise.
Steve Kerr with us, Willard and Dibbs. Coach, I want to ask you a couple of Draymond Green questions, and let's start with just last night. And there was obviously some energy going back and forth between Draymond and Giannis and some hard fouls in there, and you've talked recently about how, you know, he needs to stay on the court. So as you're watching that all play out in real time, what's going through your head?
First of all, Draymond is probably the best possible matchup for Giannis that we could find. I mean, this is where, you know, his brain, his IQ, his strength, his length, physical strength, all that stuff just comes into play when you're playing a guy like Giannis. I mean, you need everything, and Draymond has everything. The battle last night was amazing, and Giannis is so good that he still ends up with whatever it was, 34, and I don't know how many boards he had, but Draymond just made everything difficult. Giannis hardly got to the line, which was one of the keys to the game going in. And at the end of the night, you get a win and you go, yeah, we sure needed Draymond out there tonight. And that's what he's capable of, you know, against the very best players. He's still, in my mind, the best option defensively that that anybody in the league could have.
We've seen it this year last night, Jokic, Wemby, we've seen it this year. That said, I know you hear the talk and you see the analytics of Draymond's plus minus, which is always been a great strength of his, and it's not been so great this year. So, A, what are you seeing that's different with him this year? And B, is there any thought to, I don't know, lowering his minutes or changing and tweaking the role a little bit?
Well, we look at all that stuff every day. We watch the tape. We have two analytics people in the room with us every day as we watch film. So we're all connected as a group. We hash out what's meaningful, what's not. You know, one of the big themes from the analytics department is, you know, be careful with small sample sizes. So when I hear people say, well, Draymond's been a negative for, you know, the last, 10 games, I'm like, well, he's been a positive for the last 12 years. So, like, let's settle down here. Let's give it some time. But, I think you have to allow for all the circumstances that are involved, where the league is, how people are playing. I'm going to keep hammering home, although I'm not saying it to the team anymore, but I'm going to keep just hammering home that if we take care of the ball and we get offensive rebounds, then we're going to be a really good team. And Draymond is going to be on the plus side. And it's an adjustment that I think our team has to make. He has to make. We've talked about it and it comes true. You know, last couple games, Draymond's been off the charts good offensively. 19 assists, 2 turnovers, making really simple decisions, and he's been on the plus side. So I don't know. I just think you can't get too carried away with the numbers. You have to study them and take them with a grain of salt too.
You said you're not going to hammer them over turnovers anymore. Is that because it's gotten better, or are you feeling kind of like a broken record?
Yeah, that it's more the latter. I mean, I was hammering at home for so long, and I think the players were feeling really self-conscious, and I think it was actually kind of counterproductive in some ways. So in the last couple of weeks, I don't even mention the word turnover. I just say, let's hit singles, let's make simple decisions, you know, let's go. And meanwhile, we're also hammering home the point that the league has changed, and it really is a possession league now. You know, Milwaukee's a great example of that. They're second best 3-point shooting team in the league, but they're middle of the pack in offensive rating. And, you know, 5 years ago, if you were such a great 3-point shooting team, you'd be near the top of the league automatically in offensive rating. But they don't get offensive rebounds. I think they're 30th in the league in offensive rebounds. And they don't get to the line for easy points. And as a result, you know, all that shooting is somewhat negated by those other stats. And these are the kind of things we're trying to teach our team as the league changes. Our players need to understand it, and we got to know how to counteract that.
All right, Steve, let's talk about the Clipper game. Where did that rank on the Steve Kerr anger meter for you?
Well, I read that I've been ejected 5 times, so I'm just going to say it was top 5.
Okay. Of those ejections, or even just your memory, like, can you ever remember being more angry on a basketball court?
Well, I'm trying to think back to the other ones. I remember getting ejected in Sacramento, and as I was being led off the floor, DeMarcus Cousins, who was playing for the Kings, was laughing at me. And so that was... That's never a good sign when DeMarcus is laughing at you because you got kicked out. So.
That's rare.
Yeah. So I got mad at Kenny Maurer in Portland 1 year when he called a flagrant foul on Draymond, and I went nuts and got tossed. So yeah, I mean, you know, every once in a while I snap, and it's happened a handful of times. I can't really rank them because I lose my mind and I don't remember much. Sometimes I just feel like I got to back up the team, and sometimes it's genuine anger and conviction. I just think you cannot miss an obvious goaltend call. You just cannot. And so a lot of that was just principle. Like, come on, guys.
I'd love to circle back to the actual X's and O's of that rule, but I also have to ask, at any of your previous ejections, Have any of them ever been narrated by an iconic rapper before?
No, nor have they been in front of my mom, okay, who was at the game right in L.A. Oh, so that was this. Yeah, this was the most memorable one for sure, because I got the narration from Snoop, which gives me great street cred, and then I got completely shot down by my mom for my behavior. So
yeah,
it was like, you know, it's like the full circle. You know, I got praise and I got mom's glare. So I guess I'm back to square one.
Let's play it for everybody. This is from Peacock. Here's Snoop calling Steve's ejection.
Back him up, GP. Back him up, Steve Ray. Fire on him.
He's already gone.
Steve banging Englewood right now. Englewood, get him, Steve. You and Englewood, Steve. The Arizona Wildcat that came out and look at him.
Okay. Any comments, Steve?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. That's pretty cool to have Snoop Dogg narrate my own ejection. That's awesome.
I mean, the whole sequence was just mind-boggling. And you're right, the goaltending. Last 2 minutes, you can review it. And if they called goaltending, you can review it. But you can't review that. Was that more angering, or was it the delayed call on the Steph not an and one? Or was it just a collection of all of it?
It was all included. I think Steph is such a different player, and so much of his game is played off ball. And I don't think that the officiating accounts for who Steph is and how he plays. I think we're so attuned to guarding pick and roll and guys driving. And then, you know, Steph comes off the ball because he's, he'll come off screens and guys are bear hugging him. You know, I think those are fouls, and he's not getting those calls. I think the freedom of movement that the officials were calling a few years ago has kind of gone out the window. And I don't know. I think some of my frustration with watching, you know, Steph get bear hugged game after game and, not getting some of the calls I think he deserves, I think that frustration boiled over for me.
I'd like to ask it to you this way. I can tell you that a lot of people I talked to, when they saw that, they were like, it is about more than just that moment. And maybe this is also about just, you've called it a fading dynasty. You guys are having a hard time stacking wins. We've got this Kuminga situation over here that you're not hiding from. Was any of that sort of just an accumulation of all of these things, Steve?
No, I don't think some of those things factored in. I think that it's mostly backing up my guys. You know, I mean Steph gets fouled a few times. I think he deserves calls. He doesn't get them. I'm gonna go to bat for him. And this, you know, this has happened a few games, and I can sense Steph's frustration. I'm gonna back him up, and that's kind of my job as the coach. I actually feel really good about where we are as a team, and you know, I think the comments that I've made recently, maybe they were taken a little out of context. I don't know, but my point is, We just want a shot because we know we're good enough to beat anybody in a series. We know that, but it's different. You can't be 20-18 and say, you know, and have your three best players at 37, 36, and 35 and lie to yourself and say, yeah, we're in the same class as OKC. You can't. So you have to be realistic about this. But my whole point is if we get right, which I think we're on the way to doing, to give ourselves a chance, anything can happen in the playoffs. We won a title in 22 and everybody thought we were already past our prime. So my point is let's get ourselves that chance. But to do that, you got to make it through the regular season. You got to have good health. You've got to find your identity and you got to find your rotations. And that's what this season is really about. And there's something really cool about that in my mind, just the honor that comes from competing and staying tough and competitive and gritty, even when you're 37 and 36 and all these young bucks are coming at you. I, I love it. I think the challenge is amazing, and I'm excited about it.
And it's a gauntlet, and I thought your comments on the Tom Tolbert show were maybe too honest. Was there any backlash that you got? I know externally people thought that it was soft and it was this, it was that. You were very honest, and I think you were spot on, but has anybody come to you inside the building and said, maybe we want to, you know, dial back on the we're not good enough stuff?
No, you know, none of the players or coaches, or, you know, we understand what our goal is and you know where we are. Like I said, I mean, I don't sugarcoat anything. This is where we are. I think the real challenge right now is getting through the 82 games and you know getting to the point where we are healthy and rolling and going into the playoffs in a good place. It's so much easier to do that when everyone's 25. I mean, it's just, I can tell you from experience. I mean, we won 67, 73. I mean, we steamrolled the league for about 5 years. You know, we were in the upper 60s. And then you just go into the playoffs and you hope you don't get any injuries. This is totally different. And this is we've got to navigate our health. We've got to pace our team. We've got to find our way through the marathon and get there. And like I said, that message has been given to our team, and they understand it. And I think we're taking great pride in it. How many teams can say that they've had a run like we have, and really just fought it out till the bitter end and kept competing? There's a lot of honor in that, and I'm very proud of that.
With all that said, Steve, does the math at a certain point start to concern you at all? Like, I know you guys, every team has their eyes on a top six seed. You sit 4 games out of that. We're approaching the halfway point. How realistic do you feel it currently is to still be in that top six?
Oh, we're right in it. We're right in it. I mean, the season is so long. You know, we've lost 4 or 5 games that we should have won. We know that. So what this means is we've got to win a few that maybe we're not supposed to win. We got to make up for it on the back end. But you just mentioned it at the top of the show. The schedule's turning around for us. We've got a string of home games. We get hot. A couple of other teams get into a little bit of a rut, and we're right there. I mean, we literally watched it a year ago, you know, 30 games left in the season, and we trade for Jimmy Butler, and we go 23-8. We climbed from 10th to 7th. We almost got to 6th. We took it to the last day of the season. And then we win a playoff round, and, you know, so this is such a long haul, and that's why I say you can't worry about the math now. You look at it big picture, and you try to navigate the whole thing with your performance staff, with the players themselves, with the staff watching tape and finding the right rotations. That's kind of what makes this fun.
Hard to believe we're 3 games away from the halfway point. And, you know, if we did the halfway point awards, and I'm going to go Harry High School on you and say, who would you give the most improved player award to? Because you got some guys who are playing better now.
Yeah, I'm going to leave the award show to you guys.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
So that's your job, but I think we've had a lot of guys who are hitting their stride right now, and finding their way through the season and finding their way with this team. So we're playing better and like I said, finding a nice groove, and I think we're getting where we need to go.
So I can't ask you about least improved then, right?
Yeah, again, you guys handle that.
Okay.
And your listeners, you guys can have a poll and vote on all that stuff.
And we do, Steve, yeah. So when you mentioned guys hitting their stride, I'd love to know if you see that being the case with D'Anthony Melton, because I bet you'd agree, if you start seeing performances like last night, That's kind of a game changer for your roster.
Yeah, and I would put Al Horford in that conversation as well. I thought last night was the first time we've really seen kind of the team that we anticipated over the summer when we signed these guys. Real pros, two-way players, guys who can play in any type of game. So last night to have Melt out there for 24, 25 minutes and Al for 19 or 20, whatever it was, and to see how smooth the game looked for us and how improved some of the combinations were. I mean, Melton gives you the ball handling and passing of a point guard, but the shooting and defense of a two guard and Al just gives us a different look with that shot blocking. And so it was exciting. And like I said, it feels like things are starting to come into place.
Steve, you've made it very clear through all of our time chatting and whatnot. We get that trades are Mike's job. I know that you've said you talk almost every day. I wonder how you go about as a coach preparing your team emotionally, even for trade deadline season, especially when your team is expected to be active.
Yeah, you know, this is a tough time of year for everybody, but particularly for teams like ours that, you know, maybe have underachieved a little bit and, you know, maybe we're not where we want to be and a lot of names are being thrown around. These guys all, you know, read everything and see their names, and it's a really tough spot to be in. You know, I was in their spot many times. You got family, you got kids in school, and you read your name and it's not easy. So I talk to guys individually. I check in with them, see how they're doing. But there's no getting around it. It's just, it's a lot easier after the trade deadline when everybody can kind of settle in.
Yeah. I was reading Nick Friedell's piece today, and you were quoted about Buddy Hield, who, you know, you had to break his games played streak, and now he's clocking DNPs, yet he hasn't changed a bit. How important is that for you and the entire locker room to have a guy who's basically third stringing it, but still has that big same grin all the time?
Yeah, he's one of my favorite guys I've ever coached. Just the professionalism, the work he puts in, the joy that he brings to the building every day, and the perspective of he's playing in the NBA, and yes, things aren't going his way, but he's living a pretty good life, and I think the guys who are able to maintain that kind of perspective and approach are really beloved in the locker room, because the other players see, you know, what's happening and what's going on, and he's was a guy who had 33 in Game 7 for us last year, won us a Game 7 on the road in Houston, and now he's out of the rotation, and we all know that things can turn for him in a second, but they're just much more likely to turn when you have an approach like Buddy's, and we all appreciate him so much. We're lucky to have him.
Steve, on this homestand, Atlanta will be here Sunday. Any reaction to the Trae Young news?
Well, you know, Anzi Sala, their GM, was with us the last couple of years, and he's done a great job there, you know, amassing some picks, making some really good trades last off season, getting Walker Alexander and Porzingis, and so he's building the team in his image and building the asset base with draft picks. So it's Atlanta's doing some interesting things, and obviously a new fresh start for Trae. So hopefully it's a deal that works out for both teams.
All right, Steve, great stuff. Enjoy the homestand and start racking up some wins. And thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, you too. There it is. Steve Kerr right here on Withered and Dibbs 95.7 The Game.